this edition of Quest Point in the Mix. I'm Richard Andrews, your host. Today, I very well may be experiencing a reincarnation or experiencing a channeling. The innkeepers of the Inverness Valley Inn may be channeling the spirits of Zsa Zsa Gabor and Eddie Albert from Green Acres. You remember Green Acres? Well, both Leslie Atkins and Alden Atkins are the proud owners and rightfully proud owners and innkeepers of the Inverness Valley Inn in beautiful Inverness, California in Marin County. And I'm fortunate today to be able to talk with them about this real prize of a property that they got into and that they manage. The reason it's interesting is because they're doing so much that is reflecting all things green. You know, when that TV show came up years ago, I'm not sure that they had the same kind of, you know, ecology or focus that we have today, sustainability, but both of them certainly do. They have a solar facility, a solar plant here that's powering the facility, and have a mini eco farm. Anyway, just curious, how did the two of you wind up here, given the very interesting background that you had, the professional life you had in the East Coast and New York and D.C.? Can you talk about how you came to be here?
Well, we've been here for 3.5 years, and we came via Berkeley from the East Coast. 6 years ago, we moved to California, changed careers, and then 3.5 years ago, Alden had an opportunity to really change careers completely because the company that he worked for was bought by another company. And after 25 years in that securities law career profession, we were both ready for a big change.
Now, I understand you have a background as an environmentalist, is that correct?
Ecology, environmental scientist, as a scientist, ecologist, yes.
With a minor in veterinary amateur medicine. So
she's
both animals and plants.
But does that pretty much mean you can do everything, Leslie? Just
that's
what Arden, all I'm saying, you can do everything. Is that it?
She is to the world of ecology what Zsa Zsa Gabor was to the world of cosmetics.
Uh-huh. Ah! Good analogy.
You got to stay alert here around here.
Yes.
You guys may not be out here in the beautiful country, but you're on top of it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about one of the first things that you did.
Well, one of the first things was to add a 10.6 kilowatt solar photovoltaic array on the residence in the back, because that was the best place. And the idea was to produce as much electricity as we could, and we're producing more than half of the electricity that the whole inn uses now.
Well, there, you asked for the first, and Leslie was mm-hmm. pretty general answer. There's lots and lots of things we've done. We, for example, stopped putting poison in the ground. It was to make the grass green. It was the classic sort of pesticide-y kind of stuff, and we stopped doing that. We stopped using so much water to water the grass, so we're actually, ironically, less green. We're brown.
Right.
Yeah.
Replaced all the lights in the inn with the, well, there are lights. Put recycling bins in all the rooms so the guests recycle, and they can even now compost. The rooms have kitchens. They can compost what they don't eat. We used ecologically appropriate detergent in our laundry facility, stopped using bleach. There's just tons of stuff that you can actually do in an inn, let alone a residence, to make your life greener. So using Leslie's expertise and knowledge, we've done actually a lot of stuff, and that's probably not even a lot of what we've done.
Yeah.
You showed me earlier today some of the work that you were doing in the back garden area there, and I'm curious about that, if you can talk about that. Posting area?
Mm-hmm. We have animals that are appropriate for this kind of land, and they eat the grass and the weeds and turn it into wonderful manure, which we then hot compost, bring it up to 160 degrees three times separately, which kills all the pathogens, reduces it to wonderful humus, and that goes back into the ground where we want it to, on the landscaping, on plants that need it, and in an edible garden that we're developing at this point. And then we eat the food out of the garden, and then the cycle just keeps going on.
Now, the animals that are involved in this project, how many, there's some interesting cast of characters there that I met earlier today. It was being led by, what was the...
Well, there's a guard llama, who's the...
The guard llama.
The guard llama is the queen of the little herd. It's a mixed species herd of miniature dairy goats, Icelandic sheep, and a llama and an alpaca. The llama guards them all from coyotes and dogs. The sheep produce wonderful wool. They can also produce milk. The goats produce milk and some fiber as well. And they all do all of the weed eating and mowing for the back, I'd say the back 10 acres of the property.
And as you said, started out with, they produce all the compost for the
and
garden.
They produce all the nutrients for the garden. Yeah.
Eco cycle.
So how many animals are part of the crew?
Well, after the...
They have names.
Yeah, they have names and personalities, and they have all have different jobs. The we have a total of 6 Icelandic sheep, 3 of which are lambs born here this spring, and that was fun. We have 7 dairy goats, 5 of which were born here in the last 2 years, and the llama, the alpaca, and then we have 30 beautiful chickens that I didn't really mention, something like 15 breeds from all over the world. They lay different color eggs, different shaped eggs, and many of them are on the list of Farm Conservancy list of rare breeds that need nurturing, breeds that were in people's backyards and other cultures over thousands of years.
About 8 of those were born here.
Yeah, actually 15 of them were born here. This spring we hatched some chickens the old-fashioned way. Mm-hmm. 2 of our hens had eggs and raised little broods of breeds that were...
No, spring here is... really fun. There's usually something little and new, and kids, not the goat kids, but the people kids love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me, how did you guys come to this idea of getting involved with this property, and what was going on with the property before you bought it?
Well, the property, at least physically, and from a business perspective, was in place. The buildings had been built, and it wasn't in, and it was being used and rented out, and there were people coming and staying here and all that. It's been an inn for over 40 years. A lot of buildings were added by the guy we bought it from. So we bought an ongoing inn.
Business, okay.
And we were both, we spent 25 years in sort of the intense first Washington, D.C., New York life, lawyer and social life related to that. And even out here, my first job was in that world. We were kind of ready to do something different. I think both of us are the type of people who need to occasionally just do something a little different. Doing the same thing over and over again gets a little old for both of us. We stayed out here one weekend, and it was for sale. So instead of just paying for our room, we bought the place.
Hey, there you go. That sounds like a commercial, huh?
It wasn't quite that simple, but... we didn't, either one of us, have in our minds a vision when we were younger of being innkeepers or B&Bs or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
But we were obviously ready in our minds
for
something different,
yeah.
And here it was. And we had a little extra money from my old company that had just gotten bought.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, let's go for it.
But because you were going, that was 6 years ago, you were green before green as a term even came into the social... lingua franca, right?
Well, that's true. I did my graduate work back in the late 70s, and I learned about global warming in 1977 from a climatology professor at the University of Virginia. And even before that, I'd been influenced by some important adults in my life.
You were rebuilding marshes.
Yeah, I was.
Years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So what was fun about this project, what has been fun and creative, is to put all of those years of knowledge and things you learn in your everyday life and in the work world into a lodging property that is also can be a little farm.
Right, and it's right here in Marin County, nestled here in Marin County. You don't have to fly to El Salvador or fly...
For ecotourism. No, you can do ecotourism right around here.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. So what do you think about what's been going on in Copenhagen? Any thoughts here? I know that's kind of a little bit of a field from our conversation topic here today, but any thoughts on that?
I found it very depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't be surprised by it, I guess. Maybe my expectations were higher than they should have been, but it doesn't look like much good is going to come out of it. And even before that became clear, what they thought they might get of it, we have a fairly active Bill McGibbons 350 type of organization out here relating.
Oh, okay.
And I think as Bill has been trying to tell people, even what they're thinking about doing when they occasionally think about doing stuff probably isn't enough anyway.
Right.
To want to just do what you can do.
Exactly.
Act locally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You've got control over actually a fair amount in your life, over energy that's used and carbon that's emitted and stuff like that. And so I ride my bike more.
Right.
You do what you can do.
Exactly.
And in a way, actually, at this point, I'm almost convinced it's maybe best to just forget about all that stuff because it slows you down. It makes you think, oh, this isn't going to be any good. So you just got to kind of do what you can do, and to some extent, you can't completely do that either, but ignore the global arena politically.
Right, right.
Because it's not particularly functional right now.
Yeah. Well, kind of in keeping with that, talking about things that you can do, we talked about some interesting things that you were considering doing here at the end. Working with volunteers who want to get involved here when they're visiting. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, Alden had the idea. He's been in one of these transition groups who meets to try to plan for the changes in the climate. And one of the big solutions to food shortages is doing a lot of local food growing for communities to do as much as they can locally. And part of that is the community garden idea. And Alden, in his conversations at those meetings, had brought up the possibility that we would be quite open to having a community garden on part of our acreage here.
Mm.
Not just having an organic little farm garden for the people who come to the inn to stay, but also opening it up to members of the community who don't have land to grow food on for them to come and grow food.
But we'd also like to, the part relates to the guests, we would love to, and we haven't done a lot of this yet, particularly with the growing, done it more with the animals, have an ability for guests to come actually help us grow stuff. Eat what they grow while they're here.
Right.
Wouldn't be growing while they're here, but planting it and working the farm. Some of the guests already, particularly the kids, help Leslie with the animals a lot. Collecting eggs and herding sheep and stuff like that. They could do that with the veggie garden as well. So there's a lot of ways you can incorporate all of that into the actual inn, as well as into the community.
Mm-hmm.
This piece of land is an interesting piece of land in Marin, in part because it's a fairly extended, flat piece of land. One of the problems in Marin in growing food is not a lot of flat land.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the food that's grown is grass
for right.
the cattle to graze.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's flat. It's got a source of water. It's got some sun. So it's situated in a way that might lend itself to something pretty cool in terms of growing stuff. So.
And it was a dairy. The history of this land, the little that we know, it was originally the human history involved in Miwok. Some kind of Europeans came and had a dairy. This valley was a productive dairy for many years before people came and built little cabins.
Well, is there anything else that you guys want to add or share with us?
We strive for comfort, not luxury, not over-the-top luxury. Comfort that is not wasteful. We encourage our guests to not be wasteful with respect to water or heat or electricity. We encourage guests to participate in the recycling and the composting and to enjoy the nature on the place, including the wonderful array of birds and wildlife that we try to integrate with the farm animals in a way that has harmony to it. And then this is within the larger context of the whole Point Reyes Peninsula. There are many levels of experience that guests can enjoy, from just their rooms to all of the things on this property, and then it's the doorstep, the pathway to the whole seashore filled with wildlife and oceans and all sorts of great things going on.
Yeah, I was really impressed with a lot of the photography that you have in the rooms, you know, the whales, the birds. I mean, this is just a real treat and gem you have created here.
Well, it's kind of you to say that, and 99% of what makes this special, we didn't have anything to do with. This was nature that did 99% of this. We've been able to either add or, in most cases, subtract some to let nature take back.
Or, yeah.
So it's a joy to be able to live here. My commute's not what it used to be, which is really nice. But we still can get lots of cable channels, so.
Exactly, yeah. San Francisco is what?
About an hour away,
45 minutes away, come on.
Yeah,
get that when you want it.
We just last night went into San Francisco to visit with our daughter who lives there, and we were back by, 9 o'clock or something,
and I love to bike, and bicycling out here, I think, is just
amazing.
It's just incredible.
How long can you ride up that hill to go over to?
I go up that hill. I biked into San Francisco for a minute.
So you've been working those legs.
when I'm doing what I should be doing, and I bike a lot. I used to commute into D.C.
Oh, okay.
On a bicycle.
Wow.
So I've been doing a lot of biking in my life, and out here it's just
open space.
Heaven. Yeah.
Oh, and I can imagine
up that hill. It's work, but it's worth it when you get up there.
Then the views of the ocean. The other thing that I forgot to mention that we're doing here that's not really a summing up but something you can add is because of all of the interest from guests, we've been giving some small little seminars in from sheep to wool to yarn. And so we've had a teacher come out, and we've had guests come out, and they got to meet the sheep, and then they got to see the wool from each sheep, and then see how you card it and clean it and spin it, and so that's been another way to educate people in a fun way about something that they don't run into otherwise.
Exactly. Now I'm just curious, from one sheep. What's their hair? What's the right word?
Wool.
Their wool.
Wool for the sheep.
How much to their wool do they have to give up to make a sweater?
Well, it's a good question. With our Icelandic sheep, they're special in that they grow so much that you shear them twice a year, and most sheep it's once a year. These guys, it's twice a year because in 1 year they grow about 12 inches. So each time you shear, maybe 6 inches. And each time that shearing is maybe something like maybe 5 pounds worth from one sheep twice a year. And then once you've kind of cleaned it and washed the lanolin out, that may shrink down to maybe 2.5 pounds, 3 pounds, which is, when you think of 3 pounds of wool, that is more than enough for a nice heavy big sweater. So there's a lot of things that you can make from one sheep.
Right.
And then you can take the stuff that isn't great for spinning, the stuff that's maybe a little dirty or matted, and you can turn that into felted things, beautiful felted boots and hats and mittens and so on.
Yeah, because everybody's
so
wearing...
you use every bit of wool.
You see a lot of women wearing these boots now, these with the
felted
fur.
Felted boots,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And at our place, we don't, it's a no-kill place.
Okay.
We don't eat any of our animals. We don't eat the chickens. Right. We don't kill the sheep. So everything that we use is renewable.
Renewable.
It's, yeah, right. And organic.
When you hear that sound...